Welcome to The Food Fix, where we talk with researchers who are figuring out how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Shayna Roth. If we can breed better crops to grow more food on the same amount of land, maybe we can keep up with the rising food demand as the human population grows. The problem is that breeding better crops takes a long time, but people are hungry now. Sarah Battenfield is a postdoctoral researcher at Kansas State University. She works on breeding high-quality wheat using a process called genomic selection, which could help speed up the breeding process. Sarah spoke with Ali Hussein, who reports on student innovation projects.
Hi, Sarah, and welcome to The Food Fix.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So when I need to get a bag of flour at the grocery store, they all seem the same to me.
Yeah.
Why is wheat quality an active area of research?
When you go to the grocery store and get a bag of wheat, you're actually getting a mixed bag of wheat. So every year, all the farmers harvest their own wheat from their own field. They deliver that to an elevator, and then the millers of the wheat purchase from the elevator and mix the grain from several different regions, usually, to come up to a final flour that is what the customer, who may be you, the home user, or might be a big industry who produces some kind of good, like a bread or pastry or something like that. But always the miller wants to produce the same kind of flour year in, year out for their customer.
How do you use genetic tools to predict wheat quality? Don't you need to bake it and taste it to know anything about the quality?
That's a great question. So we're using some historical data where we know how several different varieties of wheat in our breeding program, we've tested them in the past or this year or several other years ago, and now we know which pieces of their DNA contribute to how well a line finally makes bread. We use that and put it together in a mathematical formula to predict, based on the DNA alone, how well the next line of wheat would produce bread based on only its DNA.
What have you found so far?
So far, we've found that wheat quality tends to be a set of traits that we can predict fairly well in some environments, and in other environments, it's a bit harder. It seems that we're doing pretty well with being able to predict it from the DNA.
Do you ever get to eat your experiments after they are over?
Yes, we do get to eat our experimental bread. So where I work here in Kansas State, they put the big bags of all the bread loaves out on the shelf and the graduate students normally take it.
Why is studying wheat quality important for reducing hunger?
Wheat quality is something that's kind of complex. It means different things to different people because based on where you are in the world, you might eat a different product from wheat. So in the U.S., we eat a lot of industrially produced leavened bread, or think like the bag of bread that you buy in the store for sandwiches. In other places in the world, they eat, say, naan or chapati, tortillas, steamed bread. It's very important that the people who are growing wheat that's best suited for the types of product that they'll produce from that. So if you're in India, it would be best that you're growing a line of wheat that would make a good chapati. Whereas in the U.S., we try to specify our wheat in the like hard bread winter wheat growing region to be industrially produced leavened bread.
Do you also get to travel for your research?
Yes, I actually had a really cool scholarship for my PhD that was funded by Monsanto, and it's called the Monsanto Beechel-Borlaug International Scholars Program. So they funded me to go and work with the International Maize and Wheat Improvement Center. We call that place CIMMET. It's a Spanish acronym. And this place is headquartered in Mexico, but they have several research stations around the world. So I've worked with CIMMET both in Mexico and in Kenya to breed wheat that was more disease-resistant and higher quality.
What is the most surprising thing that you have found in your research?
Well, it's very interesting the way different people have different farming systems wherever you are. I grew up in Oklahoma in a wheat farming community, and my dad has wheat and cattle. So the way that we grow winter wheat and let our cattle graze the wheat is completely different from the way that they grow wheat in Mexico. They even have a different tillage system because they grow their wheat on raised beds so that they can irrigate in the furrows between the beds. And that's also much different from what I saw in Kenya, where they had the climate to grow wheat year-round. So I saw one place where there was a wheat field that had just been harvested, a wheat field that was ready to harvest, and a field of growing wheat just all next to each other. It's very interesting to see all those differences everywhere.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. What are some of the big challenges in your research and how do you overcome them?
Some of the big challenges are the amount of large data that we work with. From our historical way that we analyze data, you would only have maybe a few replicates per wheat line of data that you were looking at. So say you knew how big of a loaf of bread this wheat line made in this year in this location and maybe in another location, possibly in another year, you're looking at a few data points. Now we're looking at all the genotypic markers that go along with that. So here we're talking a couple or a few thousand DNA markers for every line multiplied by all the lines and all the data points that you have in your program. So the data can get really big really quickly.
What got you interested in this research?
I am from a wheat farming family. So my dad has wheat and cattle, and his parents before them also had wheat and cattle. So it made me really interested to help farmers experience fewer bad years is actually what I was interested in doing through breeding and improving the genetic of the wheat system.
Considering the international food security and agricultural issues, how do you see your research can contribute in improving global food security in agriculture?
I think in a lot of places in the world, it's hard to maybe have enough money or enough resources, maybe even the infrastructure to test for these kinds of traits all the time. All of these quality traits about wheat, you know, how much protein is in it, how big of a loaf does it make, about the mixing and these other things. It takes quite a big facility to do that. So our hopes are that we could start to build models where we can predict these things into different environments, say somewhere we don't have the resources or infrastructure to build a quality lab or to test quality on a whole lot of lines.
What are the next steps in your research?
We're pretty happy in our program that we've applied for another PhD student to carry on, again, with the Beecher-Borlaug scholarship. She was awarded that fellowship as well. So we'll be looking at some more things like the different environment predictions, and maybe are there other things we could add into our model to make them better, whether they're environment or specific gene pieces to the model.
Sarah Battenfield is a postdoctoral researcher in the Department of Agronomy at Kansas State University. Thank you very much for joining us. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and we wish you the best in your research ahead.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Do you notice a difference in the taste of your cooking if you use a higher quality flour? Email us with questions and comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. The Food Fix is produced and edited by Ali Hussein, Casey Wurst, and myself, Shayna Roth. Karina Baskett is our managing editor. Our theme music is the song Watchin' My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. Funding for the podcast is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID.